absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to episode 285 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. Today, we are going to discuss a very sensitive topic, discrimination. Have you ever wondered why people discriminate against each other? Discrimination can be occasional or regular, intentional or unintentional, spoken, aloud, or merely in our thoughts. People from different cultures do seem to have a tendency to single out others, whether it's a social bias or a so-called harmless stereotype. Those who experience discrimination may easily feel hurt and marginalized. Take a moment to remember the last time you experienced discrimination yourself. Perhaps it was during your time in kindergarten when you were playing with a toy that was not considered appropriate for your gender because you were a boy or you were a girl. Or maybe it was a more serious incident in your youth, such as discrimination based on race, religion, or disability. However, I would also want you to reflect on a time when you have stereotyped someone and then noticed this afterwards, and perhaps you felt sorry about it. Why do you think our minds often single out those who are different from us? In this episode, we aim to discuss the topic of discrimination openly. We will hear personal stories from individuals with diverse cultures, backgrounds, native languages, skin colors, genders, and so on. Together, we will explore the reasons behind discrimination and try to understand how people feel when they experience it. And most importantly, we try to learn from the experiences of our interview partners. Today, our guests are from Germany, Australia, and Bhutan, and they will share examples of discrimination they have personally encountered. What does it feel like to be part of a minority, to be singled out? Do we intentionally perpetuate discrimination, or are there other reasons for that? How can we learn from discrimination to foster a more equitable world? Let's listen to a short preview of what we will hear from our guests today. In our first story, Absolutely Sugar-Free, we will hear from Jana, a German guest who has lived with her genetic diabetes since her childhood and has often faced discrimination because people think she got it because of eating too much sugar as a child.
An example from my own life, because I do have a disease called diabetes. When I was still a kid, some people walking past were talking about me and mainly discussing the topic that children who suffer from diabetes absolutely have eaten too much sugar in their past life, which is not true at all. So when I witnessed that conversation, that made me feel pretty bad, and I realized later on.
In our second story, Absolutely Confronting, we will hear from Sandy, a lecturer from Australia. Sandy recalls one day in her teaching career when she had to stand up for one of her Indigenous students, that means an Aboriginal student, who faced discrimination during Sandy's class.
There's a lot of casual racism towards Indigenous people. And I recall one day a student making a comment about Aboriginal people running around with no clothes on. And I had an Indigenous student in that class. And it was very awkward for me because I knew that I had to say something to him. I knew I couldn't let that go or I would be failing the Indigenous student. But it's very confronting to have to tell off a student for saying something racist in class. And I don't remember exactly what I said.
Finally, in our last category, absolutely forgiving, we listen to Tinley, who comes from an Asian country, Bhutan. This is a story about the bias that many people in the West have. Do all Asians really look Chinese?
When I was in Turkey, the guy was yelling at me, saying, "Niao." So I wondered what it was. I thought he was calling for some cats because there are 4.4 million cats in Turkey. But he was actually saying "ni hao" to me, which means hello in Chinese. And yeah, that was probably the latest racism I faced.
Let us begin the show. In our first story, absolutely sugar-free, Teona speaks to Jana. As Jana suffers from diabetes, she has been singled out by others. People often assume that Jana must have eaten too much sugar when she was a child, and this is how she got diabetes. It took her some time to realize that such comments are discriminating. Well, Jana knows that she actually has the genetic type of diabetes and found her way to deal with people who make her feel uncomfortable about her disease.
So, first of all, I do not witness discrimination that often, but I do have an example from my own life because I do have a disease called diabetes. I don't think people discriminate me because they want to discriminate me, but it happens. So one example would be when I was still a kid, some people walking past were talking about me and yeah, mainly discussing the topic that children who suffer from diabetes absolutely have eaten too much sugar in their past life, which is not true at all because it's in your genes if you get it or not. So when I witnessed that conversation, that made me feel, pretty bad, and I realized later on that this was some form of discrimination against people who have a disease.
And what you suggest these people who discriminate others, like what you think why it happens?
Maybe out of fear, maybe out of lack of education, maybe they don't think about it at all and they just don't want to discriminate them, because I think there are two ways of discrimination. One might be out of lack of information, which might be a more unintentional way of discrimination, which is also bad because we have access to the internet, so we can inform ourselves about almost every topic. And then there's this more aggressive form of discrimination, being actively discriminative and actively wanting to hurt another person and discriminate them for some reason, for example, skin color or something.
Maybe you have some examples that you can share.
I'm going back to the topic of diabetes there. I have to watch a little what I eat and drink. And there are people who are trying to do the job for me and trying to think about what I might be able to drink and buying sugar-free stuff for me, which is not necessarily what I like. And I just buy it because they are overthinking, what might be good for her, instead of asking me what I need, what I would like to drink, if they are uncertain, out of lack of information. So this is on one hand making me kind of feeling welcome because they took extra time and extra effort to think about what I might like. On the other hand, it's making me feel really awkward myself because this is not necessarily what I like to eat or drink. So I feel bad if I say that I don't like it because they took so much effort of preparing it. On the other hand, I do not actually want to eat or drink it, so that's making me bad too. And I think with a more visible disability, you might feel the same if people are trying to think for you. And if you realize that they are awkward around you on the one hand, you might feel like welcome that they took the time and effort to think about it. On the other hand, the outcome of that thinking process might not be benefiting for you.
From Jana's story, we can agree on one thing. Good intentions do not always lead to good results. Even though people around Jana are trying to be nice by buying drinks for diabetics, especially for her, it only puts her in a very uncomfortable position because she might not like those drinks. What we have also learned from Jana is that there are two forms of discrimination, passive or unintentional, and active or intentional. The next time you are stereotyped or witness a situation where someone is being discriminated against, try to stop and think about why a person actually does it. If it is simply due to a lack of information, perhaps the best way to address such incidents is by educating people about diabetes or the history of different minority groups. In our second story, Absolutely Confronting, we hear from Sandy, who is a lecturer at the University in Queensland, Australia. In one of her social science classes, she heard a discriminative comment based on race towards one of her Indigenous or Aboriginal students. Being a teacher can be a challenging profession, especially when you have to confront a student for an inappropriate remark, just like Sandy did. Let us listen to her story and learn how we can stand up for people who experience discrimination.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Indigenous population in Australia is about 2%, and a lot of Indigenous people in Australia are not visibly Indigenous. So the Australian government, when we invaded Australia in the 1700s, had a policy of trying to breed out Aboriginality. So it was an explicit government policy. It was written in textbooks, and they tried to get Aboriginal people or Indigenous people to marry white people. And their idea was that eventually there would be no sign of Aboriginal people left. They called it smoothing the pillow of a dying race. There's a lot of casual racism towards Indigenous people. And I was teaching a class in social science, and I recall one day a student making a comment about Aboriginal people running around with no clothes on. And I had an Indigenous student in that class. And it was very awkward for me because I knew that I had to say something to him. I knew I couldn't let that go or I would be failing the Indigenous student. But it's very confronting to have to tell off a student for saying something racist in class. And I did, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but it's something along the lines of, that's actually a really offensive thing to say. I don't want to hear any more of that. And the Indigenous student came up to me later and said, you handled that really well, thank you. And I was so relieved because I felt that I would have failed her had I not spoken up.
What do you think the people who discriminate others, like why they do it?
I think it's ignorance. So I suppose the examples I'm giving you are from a university. So people are there to get a higher education and they're more open to learning about people. I have trans students in my class now, transgender students who are clearly still early in their transition. And I find that most people are very respectful towards them. They are respectful of pronouns. I actually had a lovely example where I was sitting in a class. We had a transgender man. And I noticed that the students in the class automatically referred to him as they without him even having to tell them. And I think that the younger generations in Australia are very conscious of allowing people to be who they want to be. And it warms my heart. I love that about our younger generations. But there are a lot of people in Australia who live in rural areas and have not encountered many people of different races or transgender or the, you know, many different flavours of the LGBTIQ community. And they don't understand that it's okay to be different. They have a very narrow range of what they believe to be normal. And they just don't have that experience to know that, you know, this world is a multicoloured, beautiful place. And every different type of person or group adds something new to it. You know, personally, I adore diversity. It makes the world a cheerful, beautiful place to be in.
We can learn from Sandy that the reason for discrimination can be simply a lack of experience. I'm convinced we often underestimate how overwhelming or even intimidating new forms of social behavior, for example, same-sex marriage, can be for the majority of people in the world who come from more homogeneous and traditional societies and backgrounds. We also need to be a little mindful not to discriminate against those people who find the speed and direction of change rather frightening. In our last story, Absolutely Forgiven, Teona talks to Tinley, our guest from Bhutan. Tinley always tries to help others and doesn't really pay attention to any discriminatory comments directed at him. What do you think could be the reason? He is from Bhutan, a peaceful country where people are taught from childhood to remain calm and not rush to conclusions, because hurrying often makes things worse. Or are we stereotyping him by reducing him to his Bhutanese background?
Most recent would be when I was in the hammam in Turkey. I don't know how to explain it in English, but it's like a spa where you can have a really nice bath. I went there with my German friends there, and yeah, when I was there, the guy in charge was saying meow, so I wondered what it was. I thought he was calling for some cats, because there are 4.4 million cats in Turkey, and I was looking nearby to see some cats, but he was actually saying ni hao to me, which means hello in Chinese. And yeah, that was probably the latest racism I faced.
And what did you feel? Maybe you had some specific feelings to that person?
Actually, I was laughing when he was saying ni hao, because he was laughing and I also joined the fun. Why not? I was laughing because I don't really pay attention to what they say. I know that I'm being discriminated against, hated against. I'm aware of the things going around me, what's happening around me, but I'm a forgiving person. I don't keep things in mind, nor do I talk back. So yeah, for me, it's okay. But when I see others, then it makes me question myself. What if they feel targeted? What if they feel weak? What if they feel that they are a minority part of the group? So obviously, for them, it might be different. So I always could offer my help.
You just mentioned that you're really calm with this discrimination cases, and you don't really overreact. So maybe you can tell us more reasons why it happens. Maybe it's connected to your culture or your religion.
Well, yeah. I'm from Bhutan, and I come from a peaceful country, also a Buddhist country on that. So as children, we are taught morals and values that were given, that were taught by the Buddha. Even during big rituals, we are taught by great saints that we should not harm others, we should be always calm, we should always think on our actions before we do something else. So we are really, I mean, the Buddhist people, we are really calm and collected. So we don't really rush to conclusions. So yeah, but of course the world needs critics. So some people, because without critics, we cannot move forward. We need critical feedbacks and we need critical suggestions. I'm not a person who can give critical feedbacks. I could give good feedbacks, but not critical feedbacks. So the world needs critics, and those critics are the people who really think, and those are the people who are really worried about racism, unlike me.
We can learn from Tinley that it is perhaps a healthy attitude to remain calm and take things easy for oneself. However, interestingly, Tinley very self-critically reminds us that if we want to make this world a better place and reach equality one day, we will need people who are able to stand up for themselves and for others, and who can give constructive criticism to others when it comes to discrimination. Now, what about you? Do you have any experience connected with discrimination? Get in touch with us and feel free to share your unique story with us here on this podcast. Write us a comment or email us. We could do a follow-up interview with you in one of our next shows. On our webpage, absolutelyintercultural.com, you can get more information about this show and previous episodes. And you can leave comments. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know that we are also on iTunes and Apple Podcasts? You can subscribe to us there for free and give us a rating and a comment. Our next show will be coming to you on the 1st of September. Until then, try hard to embrace diversity around you und bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Vollständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.